Delighted to say that I'm joined by Dave O'Connor, our very own Dave. Good morning to you, Dave.
How are you, George? How
grand, you not a bother. This morning, Dave, we're talking about Near FM's 25th birthday. Can you believe it?
I can't, actually. It only seems like yesterday.
Staggering, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Well, I've been here for 17 years of it, Dave. You've been here for the whole shebang. Can you take us back to the very beginning and when you got involved with the station? If you want to go back maybe to the early 80s when the seeds were sown, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a funny thing actually, it'll be 35 years ago, so I got involved with the old pirate station, which is called North Dublin Community Radio, in 1985. I remember it very well because I'd been involved with a local youth club over in the Bowman Tartain area. I was also running a mobile disco, and I loved the idea of radio, and I came across this station that seemed to be doing something a bit different, and I kind of pitched an idea at a young people's radio program. They liked the idea, and that was it. I started getting involved, making radio programs, kind of bumped into a few people, and I started talking about this thing called community radio. I wasn't really too sure what I was talking about, but there was a man called Jack Byrne who lived over in Coolock, and he was very passionate about this idea that people could actually run and own their own radio station, and were campaigning for a license and were talking to government. I met this other guy called Vincent Teeling, and he was kind of into technical stuff, but he also had this passion. And I thought, Jesus, I think these lads are onto something here. I met piles of people at that time, and I just got hooked. Quite frankly, I got involved with the committee at the time, making radio programs, and helped to campaign for a license. Stood in many school halls, pubs during the 80s, talking to people, trying to encourage people to join as shareholders to this radio station that we're going to have a license for. And it worked, because in 1995, the then Independent Radio and Television Commission, which is now called the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, the regulator gave a license to what was going to be called Northeast Access Radio, Near FM. The frequency was going to be 101.5 FM, and the license was, I think the license originally was for 18 months or something like that, so okay. And it was only weekend broadcasting.
Can you remember your first show, Dave?
Yeah, it was Saturday morning, 26th of August, 1985, at 10 o'clock.
You can remember the days and all, yeah. Wow, that's impressive.
I have a recording of it, George. I'm one of those sad individuals that records things, archives things, and when somebody says, do you have a copy of that? I say, I might have a copy somewhere. So, yeah, I got involved with, I had a program, an idea of a magazine program. And my idea was that, you know, when you go into a shop and you see a magazine on a shelf, this was the radio version. It was called Off the Shelf. It still runs actually on a Saturday morning at 9:30. And I presented that on my own eventually. And then there was a girl on our CE scheme called Sinead Spain. And I thought, you know, I'd love to have somebody involved with the program as well. And she got involved. And she used to go out and do Vox Pops around Northside Shopping Centre. And then she was still to see scheme, and then she moved on. And nowadays, Sinead Spain is the head of news and all things current affairs at not just Today FM, but News Talk and Communicore. So she started off in Near FM, as did lots of other people actually who are now in media, print, journalism, production, in the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. But it's not just about that. I mean, some people often say, oh, it's a great training ground. It's a great place to get a real job. Yeah, it is, but it's actually more than that, Near FM. Near FM is about expression. It's about education. It's about entertainment. It's about, you know, people doing what they want to do, what they like to do, but having the community at the heart of it.
And the great thing is, Dave, is that if you've got no technical skills, maybe no production skills, research skills, or any other skills in media, but you want to give it a go, we'll teach you all of that. We'll facilitate you in all of that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
I think over the years, George, we've had thousands of volunteers have come through Near FM. Many have stayed with us since 1995. Many of our staff, our original staff, are still with us. We have people employed. And I'm very proud of this, that we have the most successful community employment scheme across the north side of Dublin in place since 1995. That's no mean achievement for a group of volunteers to work with a government department and ensure that people are trained, people are employed, people get paid each week. And then we linked up a number of years ago with the Department of Education through Kalash Sadulik, who coincidentally celebrated our 50th year this year. We've had a really, really successful partnership with Kalash Sadulik. There's journalism students and the radio students can use our media students use our studios, and we have people employed on the payroll through the Department of Education for many years.
How would you sum up Near FM's contribution to the enrichment of your life, Dave?
Mine. Funny, actually, somebody said, because I've done all sorts of things in Near FM over the 25 years, everything from making radio programs to I was secretary for quite a number of years. I stepped down there recently because I thought it was time for somebody else to have a go. I think change is important in any organisation. But I've also done radio training, so I do kind of production training for new volunteers. And somebody said to me once, you know, you have a real passion. You can hear the passion in your voice. And I thought, actually, that's what it is, actually. Yeah. Passion. I just have a passion for it. I have a passion for radio, but I have a passion for Near FM. My wife just refers to it as the radio because she knows that for the last 25 years, I have, before we had coronavirus, I had been going to the radio every Tuesday evening because I have a meeting, or in the earlier days I might be doing some production stuff or recording. Now the problem was I go out on Near FM, all the radio IDs, the jingles, I make them basically because I like doing that kind of thing. I love getting the ideas, I love creativity. So I've done that for donkey's years. Even my kids just talk about the radio. Oh, dad's at the radio. And even tonight, it's a Tuesday, this evening, I'm going to the radio. Now, it's going to be a virtual meeting, but I'll be going to the radio. So I think it's a passion I have for the place.
How would you sum up Near FM's contribution to the local community, Dave?
Oh, I think we have been... I think if you talk to many groups, many organisations in the area, and you mention Near FM, they'll smile and they'll think, oh, yeah, yeah. We were involved there. We did a programme there once. Oh, yeah, we did some training. Or, yeah, I know a group down the road and they had an interview. They all know about us. But they know that we're more than just a radio station. They know that if a local group is going to try and get some publicity, for instance, for something they're doing on a commercial or a national station, nigh on impossible. They know they can contact us. Our chances are we have contacted them already. And they know that they can not just get publicity or an interview, they can also get involved. And we'll follow their journey or follow their story as well. I think that's the essence of community radio. It's about the community. It's about the volunteers and the people that are involved and that enrich Near FM.
Absolutely. What shows are you involved in at the moment, Dave? Do you want to give yourself a plug?
Well, at the moment, I'm doing a programme on a Saturday morning called Near's Golden Years. I love old music. I love all the oldies. I love trying to recreate the sound of radio from kind of the 60s and 70s as much as I can. But I've been doing that for about, I think it's 18 years. And then I had this idea for a music program on a Sunday evening, just to try something different there in March, and it started just before the lockdown. So that's on Sunday evenings at 9:30. But over the years, I was thinking about the kind of programs I've been involved in, everything from the first day on air in August 95. I've done bilingual programs. I've done two programs I'm really, really proud of, is that with the Sound and Vision Scheme, the license fee funded scheme. I was able to make two programmes with my dad. So my dad was an inner city boy from Sherrard Street. He was involved with the boys' club for many, many years. And he, on a Saturday morning, I go over to my parents' house after my radio program, have tea and toast, and catch up the world. And invariably, my dad used to talk about the boys' club. And I said, I think there's a radio program on that. And we made a four-part documentary about the boys that were involved in the boys' club in, you know, from the 1940s upwards. That's about 10 years ago now. And then we had done that. He delighted. He kind of put it all together, produced it. We kind of worked very hard on it. And it was launched and all that. It's still available on podcast. And then he said, I have this other idea. So there's this variety show called Joe Mac, and it's very well known, and it's got started in the 60s, and it still happens now. And we did a show, two parts were all about that. Poor old Robert, who was looked after Joe Mac, passed away a couple of years ago, this gentleman. But it was amazing, and I'm very proud of those programs, because I think it leaves a lovely legacy of, you know, history.
It does, and I'm thinking, yeah, me and you are probably around the same age, Dave, and, you know, we would have probably listened to the same stuff growing up in the 70s. You know, yeah. I can remember sitting in the field in Portran on holidays, listening to Radio Luxembourg, and thinking, I, it's for other people. I will never be able to do this, because we only had RTE at the time. And then you had this explosion, this democratisation of the airwaves with ARD, Big D, Radio Dublin. And all of a sudden there was a buy-in. And you mentioned Jack Byrne's name as well, which is great, because without Jack, I wouldn't be sitting here. I know that.
Yeah, I think Jack's an amazing character. Maybe Jack doesn't like to be talked about sometimes, but maybe we all like to be talked about. But I think Jack's an amazing character, because he's a particular individual that has always had a passion for community radio, for genuine. Now, Jack will tell you, He would like Near FM to be doing much more than we're doing at the moment. I think Jack agonises sometimes with, you know, the concept of what is community radio. But I think, in fairness to Near FM, I think it's a balance as well, because if you are supposed to be serving the community and about the community, well, you have to listen to the community. That's what the community wants. You can't tell the community what they want. So if the community wants a pop radio program, grand. But the community also wants a program about the environment, or a program about local issues, or a program maybe in French, or a program in our new communities want to have access. So it's kind of wide and varied. I think that's the beauty of Near FM and community radio around the country. I mean, community radio is thriving around the country. There's almost 30 stations on air right around the country, and that started with maybe two, three community stations in 1995 ourselves, Dublin South. I think Connemara were also on air at the same time. But it's tried since then. A lot of hard work, though.
Do you have any standout memories, Dave, of your time here?
Jesus, I've loads of memories. One or two come to mind. Actually, I've been looking at the Near FM 25th website, and I was going through the attic looking for things just to say to the lads and the girls in the office, if you could put this up online, it might be useful. I remember going into the Coolock Development Centre where Near FM was situated, and it was a week before we went on air, and Austin McCoy, who does the Senior Citizens Programme, had a Kango hammer in his hand, and he was making a window in a concrete wall so that we could have a second studio. And there was a smell of fresh paint. Then I remember we decided we wanted to do something about a production studio, and there was a space under the stairs in another part of the Coolock Development Centre. And we got that, and we made a small little one-person booth, and we recorded all sorts of them. And then I remember vividly the current building, the Northside Civic Centre, being built. I think it was about 2012, or maybe it was earlier, I can't even remember now.
The Civic Centre here? I think we go back to 2003.
Oh, Jesus, there you go. The years just roll into one. But I remember being built, I remember standing in where you are now in Studio One, and I remember standing there, there was nothing in it except block walls. And somebody saying, yeah, we're going to put in insulation here, the desk is going to be there. And I remember, actually, I think I might have been the first person on air from the studio, because it was a Saturday morning, and I remember it was a smooth, very smooth switch over, and it worked very well. I remember Refugee Radio Week. I thought that was a brilliant idea. I can't remember how long ago it was. But at the time, it garnered a little bit of controversy, because, you know, people were saying, what, are you going to hand over a radio station to a bunch of refugees? And I thought, like, what do you mean, a bunch of refugees? We were, at the time, we were saying, like, the people have a story to tell. And rather than just drag somebody in and say, listen, we're going to let you make a radio program, or we're going to interview you, we're going to help you tell your story and make radio programs. And some of the people stayed on and made more radio programs. So I've all sorts of memories. Remember Christmas parties, the days of the Christmas parties down in the Artown Bowman Recreation
yes,
Centre.
Yes, I do.
Up in Campions. One year we had the old Campions, the Christmas party. Somebody made a load of sandwiches. It was great days. And I remember all the people as well. I mean, so many people that have passed away. I know people use the word family and kind of overuse sometimes, but I don't really use that word family, because UNSM is a family. And like all families, there's good times, not so good times, rows, hugs, celebrations, relationships, the whole lot. And we've had so many people, staff and volunteers down through the years. We've lost so many people. I've gone to too many funerals of young people.
Exactly.
In particular. My young women that have passed away, who've been volunteers and staff. And it's just been fabulous. But I think also the beauty of radio, of course, is that most of those that have passed away, their legacy lives on, because their voices can still be heard on old recordings and that. I think that's nice. I think it's a nice memory for people to have. It's been really remarkable. I'm looking forward to the next 25 years. I mentioned that I was involved with the committee for quite a number. I still am involved with the committee, but I decided there last year that I really was time for me to step down the secretary. And you know, I think we need to develop our committee and have people who are involved with the project and UFM and everything else that we do for the next number of years. And we have a really, really good committee in place that work very, very hard behind the scenes. And we have some amazing staff as well that support that committee. I'm not going to name them all, but they know who they are. I think they know that we really, really... I certainly value their support, because I couldn't do it without their support.
Absolutely. It's an amazing place, Dave. It really is.
It is.
And as you said, you know, we are family, as Sister Sledge once said. We really are. Dave, listen, thanks so much for taking time out this morning to talk to us. Do you want to give your show on Saturday morning a plug again?
Well, my amazing programme, George, is on Saturday morning at 9:30. It's called Near's Golden Years. And it's not 9:30, it's 8:00.
8:00 till 9:30, am I right?
That's it, 8:00 on Saturday morning, yes. You'd have think of, after all these years of getting up early on Saturday morning, that I'd be used to the time. It's 8:00, definitely.
Do you take requests, Dave?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Great
none
stuff,
of that 80s
so.
Muck, though. None of that electronic 80s stuff that you played, George. I couldn't be done with that.
No. You're into proper 70s stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't mind.
Dave, listen, it's been a joy talking to you.
Take care.
And then we'll do this again in 25 years' time when we're 50, okay? We make a day.
Good man. Have a day. Good
defo. Happy Christmas to you, Dave. And no Christmas party this year, but we'll have two for the price of one next year, okay?
Absolutely.
Great stuff. Thanks a million, Dave.
Take